Good morning. Welcome to the Mr. Relevant Podcast. It's Monday, September 12th, the day after the Commanders' season opening win over Jacksonville. I'm your host, Jamie Mottram. I'm here to talk about the game. It's the District of Columbia to my Washington State, Matt Terrell. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm good, Jamie. How are you? It took me a second to figure out what that was a reference to, but I've got it now. I was paying attention on the internet.
They're selling Washington State mugs at FedEx Field, as reported by, what's his name?
I don't know. I saw it on a retweet, I think, from Pete Haley, but I don't know who had it originally.
Pete, for some reason, I had it as Nate Haley, but I wasn't sure. Pete.
No, you hit on 50% of
but
the letters.
But here's my question that's more important than, like, getting the wrong Washington on the mug. Is like, who is going to an NFL game and buying a mug?
People who really like mugs and other stoneware. I mean, I don't know. Who buys anything? Dude, if you stop and think about any of this for more than 10 seconds, none of any of this makes sense. I was so incensed at Adam Schefter on Sunday morning for his Lamar tweets. Just quick summary is that he was tweeting, you know, despite everybody keeping, all parties keeping the negotiations quiet, here's what's going on with the Lamar negotiations, and it was designed to make Lamar Jackson look bad. And it just the fact that that guy's paid $9 million a year to, like, tweet meaningless crap 90% of the time and then occasionally leak information on behalf of the owners is, like, it's criminal. Like, so the point is, I can't think about any of it too closely. I just got to enjoy the football, man. That otherwise, it's a disaster.
I was pretty amped for, like, the week one Sunday morning, you know, NFL pregame programming until I turned it on.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm like, no, I think I'll go for a walk. But the Commanders won. Hey,
they sure did.
It was so much better than the alternative, which was them blowing it. 28-22. That was a pretty fun game. You were expecting a loss. I was expecting a, like, narrow, low scoring Washington win. We got neither, you know, I mean, they went over, they covered. They beat Jacksonville. It's good times in Washington.
Yeah, and to the point of what we requested, or at least what I was ranting about on our pod last week, is they were fun, man. Like, we saw what we talked about, a little bit of the optimistic part of Carson Wentz, which is that his ceiling, when he is playing well, is so much better than anything we've seen. I was texting with a friend, and we were arguing. Like, we both agreed, like, sure, the RG3 rookie year was definitely comparable, but if we dismiss that as scheme, as sort of like coaching, whatever, I don't know. I mean, like, who was the last Washington quarterback who threw a long ball for a touchdown like that?
Like, Mark the Ripper.
It is, isn't it? I mean, that's what we landed on. But, like, it is, right?
Well, there's a fun stat from yesterday. You know, Wentz, the fun stat is Wentz threw four touchdowns. But the even more fun stat than that is a Washington quarterback hadn't thrown for four touchdowns in a game since 2015. I mean, that's insane. In the modern NFL, to go six-plus seasons without a four-touchdown game, that's wild. I mean, so anyway, the four touchdowns, incredible. The throw to McLaurin for the 40 plus yard touchdown crucially in the fourth quarter. As soon as he let that ball go, I've been trained to understand that it would be intercepted.
Yes.
Because he a Washington quarterback does not have the arm strength to get that ball into that pocket, you know, between 100%. The corner and the safety 40 yards downfield. Like, a Washington quarterback can't make that throw, but he made it with room to spare.
It's insane. He made it. It didn't even look difficult. You're like, oh, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to hit the guy in stride, take advantage of his speed, and watch him run down the sideline for a touchdown. You're absolutely right. As soon as the ball's in the air, you're like, oh God, here we go again.
It's not that I'm putting Wentz on this pedestal, but that is the throw that Justin Herbert makes and Mahomes and Allen, you know, like the guys that we can't have.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a jaw dropper.
What's the irony of it, of course, is that his bad throws are the ones where you're like, well, this can't be intercepted. It's going 2 yards in the air. And then, like, it's intercepted by the defensive lineman or something like it's
okay. The two interceptions were just baffling. I mean, just like, I've never really watched Carson Wentz, or at least I haven't really watched him since he was the Eagles quarterback. So I'm always like, what's the big deal? Why are people like, oh, he's so mistake prone? And the Carson Wentz experience, like, talking about it, like, there's this, like, high interception. I mean, the dude threw seven picks last year in a full season. So I'm coming into this being like, okay, well, I guess that reputation is earned, but I'm not quite sure I understand. Now I fully understand. The first interception where he stared down the wide receiver, I don't know who it was, but like on the sideline, like, first of all, why do you stare him down like that? And second of all, if you're staring him down, how do you still throw the ball even though he's blanketed?
it's a gift.
Yeah. I don't know. It was wild. And then the screen pick was illogical. I'm not even sure who he was throwing it to. I know Gibson was like in the vicinity, but if Walker doesn't pick that, that ball isn't even going, it's not going to land within like 3+ yards of a receiver. It was just a very odd decision and then throw. I watched it like 10 times. I still don't understand what happened on that play.
Agreed. But here's where I landed with the whole Carson Wentz experience is he almost single-handedly lost them that game. He really did. It was disastrous. His bad plays were disastrous. If they had any of their other quarterbacks for the last 10, 12, 15 years, they lose that game. Regardless, he won the game as much, in fact, more than he lost. I mean, I think the 4 touchdowns to 2 interceptions is pretty much, that's it. I mean, he tried twice as hard to win the game as to lose it, and he succeeded. That's where it landed.
So we were watching it, me and Miles, who has now become like the world's biggest Commanders fan. It's tragic. We're watching, and they go up 14-3. And first of all, I'm like, I say to him, and my wife is in the room, I say out loud, like, enjoy it, because this is probably the high point of the season. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, it just started. I'm like, 100%. Like, now that that very closely came, you know, that was very close to becoming prophetic, because, yeah, they very nearly blew the game. But I think it was the next drive after they went up 14-3. They're kind of humming along. They get to midfield at second quarter. And I'm like, wow. I said this out loud also, like, they're really moving the ball. Like, this is impressive. Next play, Curtis Samuels fumbles, and they go on like a full 2 quarters of just inept offense, like 3 total turnovers. I don't know if there were any positive plays. They blew the lead. They went down, you know, 22-14 or whatever it was after being up 14-3. I felt I felt a lot of personal responsibility over that.
I think we have to let the personal responsibility go. I think we have to accept the fact that we are not in control of our own fate, and we are merely passengers. Just be one with the flow.
It feels like that, though. No, the jinx is strong. We've proven this.
It is. We have, but I don't know. I agree with you. My thought during those down stretches, both offensively and defensively, was, man, maybe these coordinators just aren't very good. At least Scott Turner has flashes of, yeah, like those first 2 drives, they were using cool formations. They were all the neat stuff that we were like, hey, why does this team never do this? They unveiled some things. They used Curtis Samuel all over the formation. They used all their different guys. That was great. And then as soon as things started going bad, it was like he turned into preseason Scott Turner, and it was awful. I still have no excuse for Jack Del Rio. That guy is, I don't get it. I genuinely don't.
I'm starting to think he might not be good.
It's possible. It's possible.
Before we talk to ruin this with any sort of defensive chatter, the offensive weaponry was impressive. I don't want to go overboard. You know, I'm not comparing this trio of receivers to the posse. I have seen that on the internet. McLaurin, Dotson, and Samuel. I think Samuel finally showed up. That was great. But Gibson was used in a bunch of exciting ways. He caught like 8 passes. And then Logan Thomas being around is like the security blanket with a few big catches, a few big first downs. Like you add, like, none of them are all pros, but you add it all up, and that was the most dynamic offense we've seen in a while.
A long, long time, especially what with having them all on the field. Like last season's offense was supposed to be something like that, but everybody got injured. But this, you know, and if they, what if Brian Robinson, when he returns from being shot, is actually even an upgrade from a back, you know, standard sort of handoff backfield running back over Gibson and whoever else that we're running out. I mean, it's weird, man. It's really strange watching an offense that is fun, that might score. It's weird seeing a first round wide receiver, score two touchdowns in his first game for Washington. I do not remember that ever.
I thought the second touchdown was extraordinary play as well.
Yes.
Like that was a, like Wentz is getting a lot of credit for that being a good ball. And it was a good ball. You know, he did put it on him, but it was a 50-50 ball. Like that should have been at best, like toughly contested, but the corner, I think, got duped by Dotson and really had no idea like where the ball was and what was happening, because Dotson just played that really cleverly and ended up with the ball right in his lap.
I give
credit on that more to him than Wentz, but whatever, touchdown.
Well, I mean, you say 50-50 ball. We've had first round wide receivers who made a perfect pass look like a 50-50 ball. So having a guy who sees a 50-50 ball, like whatever, I'll make this impossible catch is really new and a different feeling. It's very nice. Yeah.
Loved it. I loved the Dotson experience. What else? I will say also before we move on from the offense, like, look, I think Jacksonville kind of sucks. That seems to be established. Although you did say, I think, quote, they're better than us at every position.
I did. I
think that was a Matt Turrell special.
I did. That was really, even by my standards of optimism, that was something. That sure was.
But Washington's offense turned it over three times. So, you know, drive killers, at least three of them. And Jacksonville didn't turn it over at all until the final play. And Washington still hung 28 on the board. Like, could you imagine if we have an offense that's like, you know, scoring at that level over the course of the season? We talk about RG3's rookie year a lot, but that hasn't been done since RG3's rookie year, that we could be like a high 20s offense.
Well, deliberately or not, that's a perfect transition, because they may very well have to be to offset the defense. But one of the other natural specials from the other day is, I would much rather win and or lose 31-30 every game than, you know, win seven games 17-14 or whatever. So right. I would love to just get in a bunch of shootouts, and no pun intended, sorry, Brian Robinson. And you know, I think it'd be great.
Did you think the defense was that bad?
I most of the time I did. They seemed to come through every time they had to, but I spent from the first drive on, it just sure seemed like they were getting chunk plays and chunk plays and chunk plays. I don't know.
I mean, Jacksonville's not great, but the offense did give Jacksonville the ball three times, including on the Wentz screen pass interception, gave it to them on like the 10-yard line. You know, we were basically minus three on turnovers the whole game, and the defense only gave up 22 points. Like that's not bad.
It just felt like there was nobody playing linebacker. I don't claim to be good enough at understanding everybody's responsibilities on a given defensive play to fully know it. But I just know that, like, if you sort of divided the defensive area into like linemen and then defensive backfield and then sort of the guys in between those two, that area was open all day, every day, for the entire game. And often there was just nobody even in the picture. It's a real concern for me. So maybe I was wrong about Jacksonville being the
is the concern that the linebackers and defensive backs aren't good. So like 2/3 of the defense is not good. Is that what's concerning?
Well, the defensive backs, I'm willing to concede, might be like passable. I thought that Derek Forrest kid had a hell of a game at safety. And if he
can
play like that every game, like he's a legitimate player if they get Cam Curl back. So the backfield worries me less. The line, again, seems fine. They're not, I don't know that they're living up to their draft status or what they were supposed to be, but they're like okay-ish. But my God, there is a void at linebacker that is just terrifying. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, did you see it differently?
No, I just thought like they were okay as a unit, as like a defensive unit. I thought they were okay. You know, like Jacksonville's not great. We've established this. But offensively, you know, they might be sort of middling. You know, they've got an interesting quarterback and they've got a couple decent running backs. And I don't know. I think to hold, when you're minus three on turnovers, to hold them to 22 is overall like not bad. I felt like they got a pretty good rush on Lawrence most of the game. Daron Payne was a monster. It was enough to win from the defense.
It was enough to win. I would say that Travis Etienne, who the announcers kept calling ETN as if it was just the initials, which mm-hmm. was weird, but whatever. Maybe they're pronouncing it right and I'm wrong. Anyway, he dropped one that looked like it
should have been a touchdown.
Yeah, 300 yards or so. That was one where the linebackers weren't around. He had a couple other plays where, like, he just didn't seem quite back to, you know, what he's supposed to be. And if he hits on a couple of those, it looks different. I don't know. I understand there's a million ifs in any game. I get it. But
one thing that's interesting, in fantasy, you know, Etienne was a big, you know, hot commodity, but it was worrisome that Robinson was going to take his job back or split the carries or whatever. Robinson got like two or three times the carries yesterday that Etienne got, but regardless of who was carrying it, I think they averaged like 8 or 9 yards per carry. They had like 14, 15 carries for like 110 yards. They just didn't run it much. I don't know. Maybe that's why they ran it so well per carry, but they didn't run much. And when they did run, they got a lot of yardage.
Well, that's what's going to happen, where if you can get past the first row of guys, you're given 6 more yards just because there's nobody. We're trying not to play anybody in the middle of the field. It's mm-hmm. a cool, fascinating. If it were working, we'd call it a crazy disruptive strategy from Del Rio. I mean, nobody's ever thought of that before.
Quick shout out to special teams for just being competent. Like, we made both field goals. I think Tressway had 3 punts for like 49 yards per, maybe a couple times, maybe not great net, but whatever, just competent special teams.
Yesterday was a rarity around the league. There was a lot of weird stuff going on with special teams.
I think the last thing I have to say about this game specifically, just cause we hadn't mentioned it, you did mention Forrest, but, Derek Forrest did make that game ending interception on what was like kind of a desperation heave from Trevor Lawrence. What I didn't understand is why Lawrence threw that ball. Like, that might have been worse than Wentz's picks. The situation was, I think, 3rd and 11, less than a minute left, and they're trying to drive down to score a winning touchdown. 3rd and 11, he, you know, rolls left and gets rushed and just heaves it to about the Washington, I don't know, 20. Like, why? Why? Anything would have been better than that.
I don't know. I mean, if Trevor Lawrence were on Washington, I would be total doom and gloom about how he's, you know, he may be okay, but he's not living up to what he was supposed to be. I mean, he just, to my eye, he was supposed to be a can't miss, like, slam dunk, no brainer, just top tier quarterback. And I mean, again, I don't claim to be like a crazy professional, but did he look like that to you?
I mean, he always is going to pass the eye test. Like, that's why he was the number one. Yeah, you know, like, just every measurable, like, he just looks like a quarterback.
I mean,
I thought he played well. I mean, just like tall, fast, strong arm. You know,
he has a doofy face. He's got that.
He's got like a long face and and like great hair.
Yeah, but I mean, lustrous.
I thought he played fine. That was just a kind of a baffling decision. Like, if that happened for our team, if that was how it ended, I would not feel good about it.
No, and not at all. And that's the thing. So it's easy for me to glibly be like, yeah, Jacksonville has better players at every position. But when I actually watch them, and I think if they were wearing Commander's helmets, what would I think of them? I would be very worried about some of them and very disappointed. So it's sort of, is it the grass is always greener or just that I'm a dreary person? I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's pretty consistent.
The last thing I have on the football from yesterday is the NFC East tightened up because, you know, we were talking about win totals for the season last year. You went 7, I went 8. Vegas was over under 7.5. Giants were 7.5. Eagles were 9.5. Cowboys were 10.5. Well, Cowboys lost and Dax hurt. So what are they now? I mean, they've got to be knocked down. I don't know, you probably Google this, but I would guess they're at like 8 or 9 wins projected right now.
I would think that would be high at this point.
It might be lower than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Philly, you know, 9.5 wins. They survive in Detroit 38-35. I'd say Philly's about what you thought they were, you know, 9.5. You got to bump New York and Washington up. Like, I'd say half a game each, something like that. I'm not sure how this works, but, you know, the Jacksonville, beating Jacksonville and beating Tennessee, like those were roughly like 50-50 type games. Maybe Washington was like a 55% chance to win and New York was like 45. I don't know. I'd say they're probably around 8. Anyway, now the NFC East going into week 2 is like pretty tight, whereas going into week 1 there was a clear pecking order.
Yeah, it's pretty tight, and also it has the potential to be fun. Like the Eagles, I don't know how Detroit made their way back into that game. I was not watching closely, obviously, but it sure seemed like the Eagles were in control and then they weren't. It feels like Jalen Hurts might have his own version of the Carson Wentz experience. It's unclear to me. The Giants had some big plays, scored some points. Brian Daboll looks like a, you know, fiery, fun guy. And I would be A-okay with the other three teams kicking around a moribund, miserable Cowboys team without their quarterback waiting, you know, to fire their coach. That would be a lot of fun. It could be a good season.
The Cowboys were so bad last night in that game, and Dak getting hurt, you know, so tough. I almost don't even have it in me to like make fun of my Cowboys friends. You know,
I believe in you. Brutal. You can do it. Just set your mind to it. You can do it.
Maybe if I give it a day. It's a little raw right now. I think they're probably a little raw. When you are the favorite in the division and over under 10.5 wins, when was the last time Washington was that highly regarded going into the season? Probably like 1992.
Yeah, something like that.
And then on opening night, you lose. What did they lose? 19-3 or something? Just an ugly loss. And your star quarterback, your best player, is out for 2 months. I mean, that's tough. And you hate to see it for Dallas. You really do.
And your coach looks baffled and overwhelmed at all times over the course of the game. And what I was going to say about it was that, you know, I was all excited for the NFL opening weekend. And I was worried about, oh, man, you know, Buccaneers, Cowboys, how am I going to find time to watch House of the Dragon? But they made it easy. It was a no-brainer. I kick right over to that, come back, Dak's gone. It was terrific.
Yeah, I slid right into the hot D, right at 9 o'clock. Yeah.
Well, this was certainly the hot D episode of Hot D.
I know, yeah. this is uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because we're usually pretty like, you know, we show the kids R-rated movies. I made my son watch RoboCop. Like, we're usually pretty whatever lax about those kinds of things. But every week, my wife is like, we are not turning this show on until the kids are in a different room on a different floor of the house. And the first 3 weeks, I was like, well, I guess. And then this week, I was like, thank God you did that. Like, oof, that would have been horrifying.
Yeah, they would have remembered that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, that's all I got for Washington. On to Detroit. Is it at Detroit?
I think so. I don't know. You know, whatever, man. I wasn't looking past the Jaguars. You know, I was laser focused. You don't see the next opponent.
I don't want to get too high. I feel like it's bound to come crashing down to 1-1 with a loss to Detroit, and we all realize that, as we said last week, like this is our weight class. Like the Jacksonville-Detroit slate is right where we fit in.
Or perhaps even more dreary, the acquisition of Wentz, the addition of all of these offensive weapons elevates us so that we can beat Jacksonville and Detroit, but we are still at the very bottom of the next weight class. That is a possibly even drearier possibility. It's like, I mean, we didn't get good. We just got, you know.
I'm rooting hard for the win for all sorts of reasons, but I just do want to feel the high of being 2-0. You know, like 2-0 going into Philly, the Philly game, week 3. You know, that truly would be an unexpected high point. Anything else?
No, I mean, you know, because we did the Friday pod and now we're doing this one and so they're very close together. So I haven't had time to really accomplish anything since then. I'm a failure. I'm sorry, Jamie.
Yeah, I watched one episode of Hot D. I watched one episode of the Cobra Kai season 5 with my daughter. It was truly terrible. She has since gone on to binge the rest of it on her own. Thank God.
Does she ever just binge watch some random show and you find out about it after the fact and you're like, why did, like, my daughter, I forget what it was, I don't know, Chicago Hope or Criminal Minds. It was some like a CBS procedural that she inexplicably decided to watch all of. And I was like, why did you do that? What happened there?
I mean, it makes all the sense in the world, but she will go on a binge with stuff with some frequency. Like, I think earlier this winter, like earlier this year, she watched like all the Spider-Man in like a day or two. There's a lot of Spider-Man content.
There is.
All of the Stranger Things happened like in a week, you know, and I that's so foreign to me, because when was the last time you had that much time in a week to watch like four seasons of television?
College? I don't know. Like never. I have no idea. I guess there was a brief stretch in 2001 where I was sort of aimless and didn't know what I was doing with myself. Maybe that.
Yeah. Well, college, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, but our comparison in college was like just watch the same like four movies on VHS like 100 times. You know, so like how many times can you watch Boogie Nights and like Caddyshack in a weekend?
I mean, several. We had a few TV series. I had a friend where he had never seen Twin Peaks, and we managed to unearth a box set of the VHS of the series at a used CD store, you know, used whatever store, yeah, near campus. Yeah. And so he was a real late night kind of guy, being out late night. And I was just a sort of insomniac. So every night for like a week, he would come back from being out at 1 a.m. and we would start watching Twin Peaks episodes until one of us passed out. But even that, I think there's only like 40 episodes of Twin Peaks total. So there's only so much you can do.
That's great. I don't recall having any TV series like on tape.
It's the only one that we had. It's the only one I knew of until DVDs.
When DVDs came out in like the 2000s, then there would be like, oh, I got Sopranos season one or whatever. Yep. Like that would be a thing. People would buy, poor bastards would buy a TV series on DVD.
Yeah, I used to check them out of the library, which I don't know if that's better or worse in hindsight.
Yeah, but better. Yeah, you don't have the sunk cost. You don't have like this object that you'll never use.
Yeah, you know. It's true. I mean, it's nice to not have that with the 8 trillion other objects that threaten to crush me in my home that I never use. Anyway.
All right. Anything else?
No, let's take one extra second to savor this like upbeat, fun, the offense look good feeling, just in case this is it.
I know. It really did feel good to get a W under the belt for the Durs.
The Durs. Are you really trying to make Durs happen?
Well, you have to be strategic with it, because if you want it to take hold, you only have to use it in context where people know like what the fuck you're talking about. Like if I casually drop Durs with like some of my friends down here in Wilmington, like they will literally have no clue what team I'm referencing. So we're going to develop this. We're going to work on it.
I can't decide if this makes Durs better or worse, but when my daughter is at a sleepaway camp, they post pictures every day, but you kind of have to just scroll through a bunch of pictures hoping to see your kid. But they're broken up by age group, and she's, you know, whatever, 14 now. And all, like, God love 14-year-old boys. I remember being one myself, and it's rough. You know, it's hard in those streets. But, like, every 14-year-old boy's face just looks like he's going, durr. So I would scroll through the pictures just going, durr, repeatedly as they would pop up. And that's what I think of when you say that. I don't know if that's, like, a feature or a bug, but it comes to mind. Okay, cool.
I think it's a feature. I don't know what to do with Commanders. Like, it just still
did you see the dog?
Oh, the Mando.
Mando the dog, yeah. I thought that was good cute. Name. And good name. Mando's cute. Yeah, that was good.
I'm trying to think. Oh, wasn't there also like just thinking about like the franchise here, the organization, wasn't there another stadium leak yesterday?
Like another plumbing issue? I did not see any videos of it, but I think somebody, maybe JP, made this point on his podcast, but like, when they win in an exciting and fun fashion, it's a lot easier to be like, yeah, well, you know, some bad things might happen. It's okay. You know, everybody's got problems, but it's only when they also are inept on the football field and then lose and pipes burst that you really get distressed. Oh, you know what real quick, you know what I thought was an underrated element of yesterday? It was overcast. And it was, I know you're not in the area, but it was like a little cooler for most of the day. It felt a little more like fall. I know we all like to see that big, you know, sunny, you know, bright, crisp opening day, but there was something about like a slightly drearier day that worked better for me. I'd be okay with that every opening day from now on.
I have one last thing. It's from my notes.
Whoa. Look at you.
It's Jason Wright, president of the Commanders.
Oh no. What did he do this time?
Well, I don't really have anything against Jason Wright. It's hard. I feel like he should be running some corporation that specializes in widgets, but instead he's running our football team. And he's just so corporate and like business speaky. It's like nails on a chalkboard for me. Here's a tweet from him from yesterday that kind of gets to what I'm talking about in a weird way. When Wentz threw his screen pass interception yesterday, Warren Sharp tweeted, "Carson Wentz is who we thought he was." Jason Wright, after the game, retweeted or quote tweeted Warren Sharp and said, quote, "I agree. A man of mental fortitude who, after two fourth quarter picks that conjured bad memories, dug deep, found his poise, pushed aside negative thoughts, and rallied us to victory. An overcomer, to be succinct, exactly who we thought he was." HTTC.
I mean, it's inspirational.
Yeah, this dude is extra.
He's like Newt Rockne. He's that I've rarely felt my brand activated in quite such a thrilling way.
That's the thing. The whole thing feels like a brand activation, and everything by like the fourth line of that, where it's like an overcomer, to be succinct.
What?
I'm redlining with that part.
Well, I love anything, and I mean, we all know that I overwrite everything and am beyond verbose in the written word, even more so than spoken. So I really love when you can get like 5 or 10 25-cent words into something, you have five sentences, and then be like, "So to be succinct," like you're really wrapping that up. But he feels like he is
within a tweet as well.
Really impressive. He's like a walking copy of Good to Great or one of those books.
Yes.
Like, it's because you and I both have like day jobs that are I don't know about you. I'm making a lot of assumptions, but I assume you deal with a lot of people who like that sort of thing and who do that sort of thing. You know, real disruptive entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Well, this is also a case where like, say less. Like you don't need to back up your quarterback. Your quarterback just won. Like everybody is saying more or less what he's saying here. Like, yeah, that was rough, but he overcame adversity. Awesome. Got the win. Anyway, unforced error for my guy.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, his entire life is currently the unforced error of choosing to work for Daniel Snyder. So
think it was funny. There was something, you remember the guy who interviewed Wentz earlier this training camp and was like, asked really pointed questions. It was like, "Is this your last shot? People are saying it's your last shot. I think it's your last shot." there was like kind of a meme of that with yesterday, turning it around on him. I enjoyed that at least.
It's great. It's all going to be great. And I'm sure he won't have any opportunity to dust off those receipts, you know, 6 weeks down the line when, you know, one of these games goes the other way and it's 2 TDs and 4 interceptions. I don't know.
Jason Wright will be freezing cold taped.
Why is the team's corporate president like way out in front publicly defending players, doing any of what he does? Why is he doing that?
I don't know. That's the head coach. Like Ron Rivera has a press conference. Ron Rivera has like a locker room speech. Like Ron Rivera is the person who's supposed to like speak on this sort of thing. You know, it's just odd to me. And the delivery, I mean, I actually kind of enjoy it in a perverse way.
Well, I mean, I will certainly take it over, you know, what the previous team presidents did, which was, you know, lead to a congressional investigation. So, you know, it's a step up by that standard.
As if that were even on the range of outcomes. And yet
here we find ourselves. One other thing, the crowd sounded loud. Credit where it's due. The FedEx Field crowd sounded loud. And it looked, I wondered, I haven't seen anybody write this or talk about this. I wondered if they were making a concerted effort to bring people to like go up to the upper deck, find Commanders fans and move them down to the lower deck, because the lower deck looked crowded, and when they did wider shots, the upper deck looked really empty. And if they did that, like, that's a thumbs up. I'm not saying that's like shady. That would be very smart, and some might even call it good business.
Well, a couple things though. they were playing Jacksonville, so that's a decided advantage versus the normal opponent that has actual fans.
True,
like Jacksonville and maybe like the Rams and Chargers are like the teams that you want to play at home because they have no fans. So they won't invade our stadium or whatever. That's the first thing. The second thing is I did have the thought because I noticed the crowd. I was like, wow, yeah, there's noise. It looks full. Like they all look like Commanders fans when they ever showed the crowd. But I did have the thought, like, who are these people that are still going to games? And like, I felt kind of like, I don't know. Like, these are the real dorks among us. They're like decked out in the new Commanders gear and going to the week one opener against Jacksonville. I mean, I'm kind of being mean here, and I do co-host a Commanders oriented podcast. So who am I to talk? But the thought did occur.
Well, so my friend that I was watching the game with made an interesting observation that I hadn't even thought of, which is technically this was the first Commanders regular season game. There may have been a group of people for whom that was actually like a draw, you know, that years down the line you would have your ticket. Do they still have ticket stubs? I don't think they even have ticket stubs, but you know what I mean? You would be able to say, hey, I was there. I was one of the 100 people who received the 90th anniversary pin when I went into the team store at the big team store opening thing. Were you following those tweets at all?
Yeah, kind of cool, I guess. I did not follow those tweets, but the thought that this was like the first Commanders game barely registered for me beyond like noticing the end zone said Commanders. And I was like, oh, that looks pretty good. Or now the uniform has a gradient on it that doesn't look that great. God, that was about it.
Man, don't even get me started. You were texting me last night about gradients and I wound up like, ugh. I can't. I just can't. So the store opening, it was very clear that somebody, probably Jason Wright, maybe Tanya Snyder, who knows, had put the word out with the media corps that the team store was officially opening and that it would be in their best interest to treat this as a story. So like poor Nikki Jubvala, who does a great job on the beat and like really gets good information, has good insight, is sitting there like tweeting about like, here's the shirts that are at the store and here's the first fans in the store. And I was like, God, this is depressing. Like, I know it's part of the deal that you need to do that so that then when you ask for a player down the line, they're like, you know, you get your quid pro quo. But man, it was bleak because it also had that Jason Wright vibe of being like, you know what's exciting? The new merch that we are rolling out. Like, oh, you're killing me, man.
Anyway. Well, is that how we got the Washington State mug? is that how that came to light?
In part, that was apparently at an outdoor vendor, like an official outdoor vendor, but it was an outdoor one. But it was done, I think Pete Haley did it in part to be like, yeah, while all that's going on, FYI, here's another piece of new merch, enjoy. So I think it was just a little thumb at that. Yes, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I think one thing that's potential about the Commanders, this was the first game, whatever, is in the exceptionally unlikely event that they continue to be an exciting offensive team and they win a few games, they string some stuff together and it turns into like a real season. I think there will be a little bit, I know I'll do it. There will be a little bit of narrative of like, yeah, see, they needed a fresh start. This is, you know, it's like when the Rams got new uniforms or Tampa Bay got new uniforms or whatever. Sometimes you just need that. And the Commanders, they're a different organization and we've moved on. The Commanders aren't being investigated by the House Ways and Means Committee or whatever it is. That was the Redskins. I don't know what you all were talking about. Yay, Commanders. That kind of thing.
All right, 1-0, maybe 2-0 next week. We might be favored. Maybe a little early to fire up the dirt wagon, but it's coming.
Oh, boy. All right, dirt wagon it is.
All right, talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Bye.